The text to which we draw our attention this morning is taken from the prophet Isaiah, the 6th chapter, beginning at the first verse. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had 6 wings. With 2 he covered his face, and with 2 he covered his feet, and with 2 he flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for." And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here I am, send me." Thus far the text. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, these are your words. Make us holy through the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Be seated. Put yourself in Isaiah's place for just a moment. Well, maybe not. That would be pretty tough, wouldn't it? To try and imagine what it would be like to see heaven, to see the seraphim flying around, to see God himself sitting on his throne, to see the temple being filled with smoke. If we were to claim to have such a vision, people would probably say that we were crazy or on drugs. But crazy or on drugs, Isaiah was not. Isaiah was one of God's prophets. And this passage actually describes Isaiah's call to that particular office, to be one of God's special spokesmen. And since none of us have been called to be God's prophets in the same sense that Isaiah was, how can we relate this text to ourselves? What does it mean? What do you do in the presence of the triune God? Let's take a look at what Isaiah did and see if we can model or at least learn from his actions. First off, if you were to find yourself in the presence of the triune God, you would recognize your unworthiness. "Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips," Isaiah said. Isaiah knew that he was unworthy as he stood there in the presence of God. But how did he know he was in God's presence? Well, he saw God sitting on a throne. He saw the seraphim flying around. This is the only place, by the way, that term, seraphim, is used to describe these angelic beings, these beings who serve God night and day. But note what each seraph did with his wings. It says, "With 2 he covered his face, with 2 he covered his feet, and with 2 he flew." Even these angels didn't consider themselves worthy to be in God's presence. They covered their face, they covered their feet to show their respect, to show their honor to their Creator. And then they were saying to each other in that wonderful Trinitarian verse, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." Isaiah had every right to be scared, to recognize how his sin made him unworthy to be in God's presence. Now again, we haven't had the experience like Isaiah of being in God's presence, or haven't we? What about right now? No, I'm not comparing my stumbling words to the angelic proclamations of the seraphim. But where are we right now? We're in God's house. Any time that we enter into this chapel or into another sanctuary, we are in the presence of God. And we are reminded of our insignificance. We're reminded of our unworthiness to be in God's presence. That's why we tend to speak to each other in hushed tones. We stand at different times to show our respect, to show our honor to our God. We act reverently in general. And if this were a full-length worship service, we may very well have a confession of sins at the beginning of the service. Why? Because we know, we recognize our unworthiness to be in God's presence. And after he had recognized his unworthiness, what did Isaiah do? He says, "Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, 'Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for.'" Now granted, as we think about what happened to Isaiah here, our first reaction might be simply to say, "Ouch." After all, how pleasant would it be to have a burning coal placed against your mouth? Of course, remember, we're dealing with a vision here. The action of the seraph was symbolic, to say the least. But it was a very graphic and powerful way to show that Isaiah received forgiveness, that he received cleansing for his unclean lips. And again, describing forgiveness as a painful experience is appropriate in this respect. Think of what Jesus went through when he was obtaining forgiveness for us. All of the things he went through in our behalf. He went to the cross carrying every one of our sins, carrying the sins of the entire world. And as he hung on that cross, the punishment being meted out on him, his Father abandoned him. His Father turned his back on him and left him in the fiery coals of hell. But because Jesus died in our place, we share in his death so that we might live. Paul said in Romans 6, "We were buried with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." This pain, this shared death with Christ, brings about our forgiveness of sins. And because of that forgiveness, we can and we do stand in the presence of the triune God. Isaiah knew that he was sinful. He knew that he was unclean. And he received forgiveness for his sins. And then what did he do? He volunteered. He volunteered to put himself in God's service. "Here I am, send me," he said. And look where that led him. For around 60 years, Isaiah served as one of God's prophets, as his spokesman, as he preached to God's people a message of impending doom if they didn't repent. But more importantly, as he preached to them a message of deliverance, a message of comfort through the coming Messiah. His work was very difficult. He had to be bold. He had to stand up in the presence of powerful kings and proclaim his message. And yet, he took on that task gladly and willingly. Now, since we're comparing what we would do in the presence of the triune God to what Isaiah did, does that mean that we have to volunteer to be in the Lord's service? Well, actually, you really don't have much of a choice. You see, when God made you his own, you are just that, his own. Jesus tells you, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. With your very life, your actions, your words, with how you live your life, you're preserving the world. You are shining his light, God's light, on the world. When you tell someone that the salvation that Jesus accomplished is theirs because of what Jesus did, you're shining that light on that person. When you're doing a good deed for a neighbor, you're showing the same love that Jesus showed for you. You are serving the Lord every day. Now, I can almost guarantee that none of us are going to see what Isaiah saw until that day when we are physically in heaven. And that's okay. We're happy to be in the presence of the triune God right now, recognizing our unworthiness, receiving forgiveness of our sins, figuring out ways that we can serve our triune God. The Lord is salvation. That was Isaiah's message that he shared. That's the message that we have to share. God grant us the strength to share that message every day. Amen.